Okay, so since tomorrow's Daf Yomi is going to discuss the sugya of Midvar Sheker Tircha, I thought it would be appropriate. I was thinking about the topic today. Also, I had a couple of shilas today on this topic, so I figured it was a siman min hashamayim that we should discuss Midvar Sheker Tircha, the issur of telling a lie. So maybe we'll do this as a case study type of shir. Mar makomos aren't in the case study format, but let me tell you the shilas. And some shilas I got today, some that I just saw on Poskim, and based on our intuition, we'll see if we're able to come up with some gedarin in terms of what the gedar of the isser of Midvar Sheker Tirchak is. I have a Talmud who recently got engaged, who's from a fairly well-to-do family. His kala is also from a very well-to-do family, and they're both very tsanua, private, not showy people at all. They're very, very fine, wonderful people, the chassan and the kala. It happens to be the chassan's grandmother, a few months ago, said, you know, when you get engaged, I purchased a diamond a while back and I want you to use it. And she takes out a diamond and it's 3 carats. It's a huge diamond. And it's perfect. It's a gorgeous stone. It's worth a lot of money. Now it's time for him to get engaged. And his kala is like the first in her class to get engaged. And she's a big tsunua. She doesn't like drawing attention to herself. And what's the first thing girls do? And, oh, let me see the ring. And she'd be mortified to be walking around with a rock on, you know, of that size on her finger. So he asked Neitza. So when he didn't like the idea of giving that one to my wife and my wife giving her the one that she has, so he rejected that idea. So he suggested the following Neitza that he thought was a great idea. He said that that he would buy his kala a cubic zirconium 1.5 carat size ring, and he'll give her to have this 3 carat ring, and whenever she feels that she's at a stage in life where it's comfortable for her to use the bigger ring, she'll use that. In the meantime, you know, for public consumption, she'll just use the cubic zirconium ring. So that was his etza. Okay, so it worked like a charm until the night they got engaged. People were saying, let me see your ring. And her brother-in-law says, is that thing real? And of course it wasn't. She didn't know what to say. What?
It's a real
cubic zirconium, right. Okay, so that's part of the shaila, I guess. Can you say, yes, it's real. It's real cubic zirconium. And you mean that it's real cubic zirconium without saying exactly what it really is. She it happened to have been her brother-in-law, so she just told him, said, no way, you know. I'm just embarrassed to walk around with the real thing, but this one's not real. And she told them, but other people are apparently asking. So the shaila is maybe he bought a really bad cubic zirconium that people are asking. Normally you wouldn't even think, especially from this family, you would never even think to ask that they wouldn't have real jewelry. But anyway, so the shaila was, can she lie to people if it makes her, if she's embarrassed by it? Can she lie if someone asks her if it's real and say, yeah, this is real? So can you say it's real and mean in your mind it's real cubic zirconium? Is that better? Can you say it's a real diamond? Are you allowed to say that? So that was the shayla. Are you allowed to lie about it? Can you say something like the boy's etza was that she should say, oh, better be or else my chassan's in big trouble, you know, without actually saying whether it is or isn't. So is that okay? So that's shayla number one. Any thoughts? Asr, mutter? Ah, so very good. So you have Anochi Esav B'charecha. As long as you don't say words that are actual sheker, then it's okay. What might be the chilek? Meaning that, so obviously Yaakov Avinu did something that had to be mutter. So apparently from Yaakov Avinu we could learn that as long as you say words that technically you could be Bill Clinton, you have lawyers write up every single word that you say, so that you could say things that, you know, exactly everyone will interpret exactly. Yeah, you know, that you never said anything that will perjure yourself, that will be wrong. It just gave everyone the wrong impression, right? And the Bill Clinton example is what he didn't do with that woman, right? So that's, you know, the exact words, a lawyer wrote up that statement, obviously, right? So the question is, can you do that? Is that really okay? And obviously it was okay for Yaakov Avinu, so is that a guide in life, or is there some extenuating circumstances? So obviously you would need to say that Yaakov must have been some sort of exception, because it doesn't seem that that's really the way a Jew should behave. It was just that Yaakov had to get, it was critical, it was a nevuah from Rivka, that he had to be the one to take the Bechor, and it was his to begin with, so he had to practice a little Gnevas Das. So okay, so that's certainly something worth thinking about and worth talking about. Another shayla. I'll do two more shaylas, and then we'll start discussing the sugya. Another shaila just came up today of a Talmud who's going for a real estate license. His family owns a lot of real estate and manages a lot of real estate, I think. And his uncle said, you know, if you ever want to be a part of the family business, you should go for a real estate license now, even though he's still in college. He's whatever it takes. So he had to take several courses somewhere in the city. And he goes to the classes. He hates them. He's not into it at all. But he goes, and he signs the attendance sheet when he goes, and then he leaves. You have to be at, I think, 18 classes or something. You have to have signed in. And he was on the train today, and he fell asleep. He missed his stop. And he ended up in Manhattan instead of Brooklyn, or Brooklyn instead of Manhattan, something like that. He ended up in a totally wrong place. He has a cousin who's in the class, because, again, it's a family type of thing. So the cousin is in the class. And the cousin called and said, why aren't you here? He said, I missed a stop. Don't ask. So the cousin said, should I sign your name in? It's just signing your name on a sheet of paper. I'm not actually... So, can he do that? Meaning, he said, you know, it's going to be so much bittul Torah for me to go in a different time, and I'm going to have to, you know, I don't really have the time to spend. So I said, stop with the bittul Torah. That's not in the cheshbon, okay? I don't need to hear about your bittul Torah. So you won't play tennis tomorrow. It won't be a bittul Torah. It will be a bittul tennis. You know, like, I don't need to hear the bittul Torah. So let's just discuss the shayla in terms of the shayla for what it really is. So, mutter, aser, otherwise...
That seems easier.
That it's for sure that you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't there. There's no...
Right.
What's the yes part?
Okay, so let me change it a little bit. You have a professor in college who has been teaching in the university for 30 years, and 30 years ago wrote the tests for that class, and has not changed them since. And every single year, we all have professors like this, and every single year... gives every single year gives those same tests. And you have them from previous years. So can you use those tests to study from, knowing that that's going to be your test? Because the teacher obviously doesn't want you doing that.
No, he knows. Well, the one I'm thinking of, new.
The one you're thinking of, new. Rosenzweig knew because it was always, you know, you just had to write everything you knew.
Right. The 5-hour class.
What?
The 5-hour car, the defensive driving class.
Very similar to the defensive driving class. That might have some slight different detail. I mean, this question about the kid with the real estate class.
Signing in,
by the defensive driving class, where legally you need to be there for something like 8 hours, and we were only there for 3, and he had us just sign that we were there on Sunday, and that we were there at different times that we weren't actually there. So is that mutter or aser? The maskana we came to, by the way, was that it was aser. Right, to sign your name to something that is a known sheker is aser. Okay, so that's shayla number two. And again, we'll see how this all plays out in terms of the sugya itself. Shayla number three is the following. This is not from a shayla that I got. This is from Rav Zilberstein's Chashukei Chemed, which is practical shaylas that somehow relate to the Daf Yomi. So in Shavuos Daf Lamed Aleph, tomorrow's Daf Midvar Sheker Tircha. Which the Gemara lists off 13 examples of Midvar Sheker Tircha, 13 different things that you could do that would be a violation of Midvar Sheker Tircha. Interestingly, in that Gemara, none of them is actually just saying a lie. Right? None of the 13 examples of Midvar Sheker Tircha actually involves saying an untruth. They're all about situations, misleading, good a cause. None of them are actually about untruths. Anyway, so here's the Shaila. There was a young girl who was trying to get a job in a company. She sent her resume, and on the resume it said that she has experience. So the guy who runs the company said, okay, I'm not going to interview myself, but the person you're going to work under will interview you, and will determine whether you know the malacha or you don't know the malacha. It doesn't define what the malacha was, but the person that you're going to work under will determine whether you do or do not know the malacha. So she goes to get tested, and v'lach shasod b'chenes, and she tells a secret to the woman who's testing her whether she knows the malacha. Amnam ein li shum nisayon b'avodah zu. She says, the secret is, I have no experience. I don't even know, like, what you guys do here. But what I do know is that I really, really need a job. And she says, Achtedi ki horai grushim, v'anim sovez mimakum mimakum, my parents are divorced, I'm neither here nor there, I'm running around, I don't have any connection to anything, ein li bayis, I have no house, gam kesef la'echol ein li, I don't even have any food to eat, v'kanze ha'makum ha'achron shani menasa l'skabal avoda. This is my last chance. Everywhere else I applied, they rejected me outright. This is my last, I have more mamakobos if anyone, this is my last chance of getting a job, she said.
Not very persuasive.
So, right, not very persuasive, right? And forget it, I'll just commit suicide if I can't get this job because I have nothing to live for. I have nothing. I don't know if she literally means commit suicide, but whatever. The woman who was interviewing her really took that to heart and really connected with her. And she said, I need to ask a rabbi what to do. Now, what was her tzad? Her tzad was as follows. She says, I was able to tell that she's a talented girl, she's a bright girl, and that what we do isn't exactly brain surgery, and she'll pick it up pretty quickly. Give me a month to train her, and she'll probably be my best worker. She'll be very, very good at it. So I think she could be good for the company. But for the next month, I'm going to be wasting my time training her. She's not going to be productive at all for the next whatever, month, 2 months, whatever time it is. She's not going to be productive in any way whatsoever. So what do I do? I think she could be fantastic. God forbid, I don't want her to, you know, end up on the street somewhere and in dangerous situations. So what do? Am I allowed to hire her and just cover up? I'm not going to actually say a lie. I'm not going to tell the boss she has experience. The boss will say, you know, yes, no. And I'll just say, yes, this is the woman that we hired. Mutter or Asr? What are you telling them?
Mutter.
Okay? Anyone disagree? Everyone says Mutter. I thought everyone would say Asr right now.
Depends what the hiring manager really is supposed to be. To hire someone to do the job?
Well, it was definitely an experience thing, right? That the ad said, you know, experience a must, and that's why she fudged it on the
resume. Was it lying?
The resume was a lie. The resume was a lie. That was definitely Asr. You're not allowed to lie in a resume, right? But now it's past that point. The resume was a lie. The person who interviewed her knows the lie, but the person who interviewed her isn't the owner of the business. The owner of the business, you know, they all work for the owner of the business.
The woman who interviewed her was given the responsibility of saying, do you want her or not? That's really what the interview was for.
Correct.
Do you accept her or not?
However, that's based on the trust that was given by the owner of the business that you're going to make a decision not based on your emotions, but based on what's best for the business. And this woman, she could find someone else who's experienced, who will be maybe equally good. You know, it's not, she doesn't know that this woman's going to be great, she just thinks she can do the job, and you know, why not make a tzedakah case on the boss's cheshbon? Because it is on the boss's cheshbon, because if I'm going to be training her for the next couple of months, I'm not going to be doing my job as well as I can be for the next couple of months. She's not going to be productive for the next couple of months while she's being trained. So and we're getting paid for this. So it is on the boss's cheshbon. So is that an isser? So I would have thought that everyone would say it's asser. Now, okay, let's take a look at the sugya a little bit. Midvar sheker tirchak. So there is an isser in the Torah, and then we'll come back. We'll try to circle around at the end to see if we've clarified any of these issues, and we can answer any of the three shilas that we presented at the beginning. Pasuk in Shmos Perachav Gimel Pasuk Zayin says Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Now, what's the context of the pasuk? So the pasuk says, if you look at the context in source number one, Lo Sata Mishpat of Yom Chaberivo Midvar Sheker Tirchak V'Naki V'Tzadik Al Tarog Kilo Atzdik Rasha. What's the context? Very clearly, it's talking about a judge. Right, someone judging a din Torah, you have to stay away from sheker. Someone dealing with a din Torah, being an aide maybe in a din Torah, v'shochad lo sikach. Right, clearly about a judge shouldn't take a bribe. Ki ashochad ya'aver pikchim v'salif divrei tzadikim v'ger lo silcha tzvatem idat v'sav shaker kemi z'meres v'sayim etc. Fine, but clearly talking in the context of a judge. That's the pasuk in the Torah. Says the Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Amalah Kodesh Baruch Hu leGavriel. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Gavriel, Lech urishom al mitzchon shel tzadikim tov shel diyo. I want you to go and engrave or mark on the foreheads of tzadikim the letter tov in ink. Shelo yishlutu behem malachei chavala. And that will protect them from the evil, not evil, but from the malachim that are dangerous. Val mitzchem shel rishayim tav shel dam. And on the foreheads of rishayim, I want you to write in blood the letter tav. The malachim apparently are like vampires or sharks. They like blood, and they're going to go straight for the blood. Why are these different than these? So the Rebbe Hashem says, tzaddikim gemurim, v'alol rishayim gemurim. What do you mean? Tzaddikim are tzaddikim, the rishayim are rishayim. Amr lefanav, Ribbono shel Olam, haya biyadam limchas v'lo michu. No, tzaddikim are at fault also, because they could have said something and they didn't. Amr la galav yadol lefanay shem michu b'em lo yikablu mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right, they didn't, but I know that they never would have been listened to anyway. Amr lefanav, Ribbono shel Olam, im lefanecha galoi, lehem mi galoi. Yeah, you know that they never would have listened. Do they know that they never would have listened? That you don't touch anyone that has the taf. And he says, and they start with those who are holiest, those who have done the most mitzvahs. So let's go on a little bit further. So it says, so these Malachi Chavala came out. Uman Ninu Shisha Nashim refers to a pasuk that speaks about six men who are these Malachi Chavala. Who are these six men? Amar Rav Chisa, Ketzef, Af, V'chema, U'mashchis, U'meshaber, U'mechale. These are angels that all have names that mean destruction. U'mashna Tuf. Why do they have the letter Tuf on their foreheads? Amar Rav, Tuf, Tichya, Tuf, Tamus. The letter Tuf, it stands for Tichya on the Tzadikim, stands for Tammuz on the Rishayim. So basically you're marking off for the Malach HaMavis. He needs to know, you know, which ones he's supposed to leave, which ones he's supposed to take. So you mark off a little note for him. And the Taf is the note to know which one to take, which one to leave. Ushmuel Amar, Tammuz Chusavos. Shmuel says Taf means that the Chusavos ran out and they need their own Zechuyos to survive. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Tachun Zechusavos. Or whatever. Okay, Rish Lakish Amar, Taf. So, here's the key. Rish Lakish Amar, Taf. Sof chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Taf is the end of God's signature. Dam Rabbi Chanina, chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The signature of God is emes. So Taf is the last letter in God's signature. Rav Shmuel Nachmeni Amar Elu Bnei Adam Shekima Satar Kulav Me'al Ve'ataf. That's that. No, maybe the Taf represents fulfilling the whole Torah all the way to Taf. But one of the ideas is that Taf is the chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically, although the Torah only tells us about Midvar Sheker Tirchak in Torah Shebichsav, in the context of a judge, in Torah Shebal Peh, it not only is an inyan, it's something that's apparently a very big inyan, to the point that this idea of emes determines the difference between life and death. That the tzaddikim are considered those who live the life of emes, the rishayim are those who live the life of non-emes. And not only that, it's the definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the signature? The signature is your name normally. It's how you define yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines himself by emes. Right? One of the Rebbeim in Keren B'Yavne, Rav Mendel Blachman, used to always make the point that there's a big difference between terms that are relative and terms that are absolute. We don't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Tov as much as we describe him as emes. Right? Because Tov is a relative thing. Beautiful is a relative thing. Someone might find this thing good, something else bad, right? So someone, was Hitler good or bad? So to us, Hitler was terrible. To the people that he took care of, his officers or whatever, he might have been good to some people, right? So then he was good, but that's everything is relative. And you could be talking about the most evil person in the world. To some people, he might be good. So Tov and Ra are very relative. The things that are absolute are Emes and Sheker. It's true, it's not true. Now, whether the truth is always good or not good is irrelevant. The point is that it's true. The truth is always true. It may not always be good, it may not always be right, but it's always true. And therefore, it's more of an absolute term. And he thought that was the inyan of Chosam Hashal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is an absolute. We can't call him Tov because Tov, by definition, doesn't really encapsulate something that's an absolute. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. That's Chesom Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Emes is apparently a very big Inyan. Not only that, it's a famous mission in Pirkei Avos. It's one of the pillars that the world stands on. The world stands on Din, Emes, and Shalom. So obviously, based on the Pasuk in Zechariah, Emes, and Mishpat, Shalom, Shiftu, B'Sha'areichem. Fine. So Emes is one of the things that keeps the world standing, keeps the world going. So Emes is obviously very important. Okay, that we didn't need a shir to tell us. We knew that beforehand. Is there an isser in the Torah to actually lie? Does it say anywhere in the Torah that you're not allowed to lie? So it says midvar sheker tirchak, but normally when the Torah tells us a lo saseh, it would say hishamer pen al or lo. One of the lashonos of lo saseh, right? Hishamer pen that you'll do this al lo. Right, over here, just tirchak. Doesn't say any of the lashonos of los asay. So there are basically two camps in the achronim about what to do with that. Why does the Torah not use the normal language? One camp, one line of thinking is the Torah doesn't use the normal language because this is much worse than the los asay. It's a stronger language, not just not to speak sheker, midvar sheker, tirchak. Stay as far away from sheker as you possibly can. The other way of thinking is, no, that there is an isser to, there's no formal isser to tell a lie, just something to stay away from. It depends how the tone that you use when you say it. Midvar sheker tirchak, that you even need to stay away from it, even further than a lo saseh? Or, no, it's just you need to stay away from it, but it's not something that's a technical lo saseh. So when you look at the different achronim and how they discuss and how they understand the phrase midvar sheker tirchak, you come to varying conclusions. The Archos Tzaddikim says that the lashon of tirchak is meant to tell you that you even have to be careful not to accidentally lie. That you have to put yourself in a situation where, meaning, if I'm asked, let's say I'm applying for a grant or for I'm filling out my tax forms or whatever, and I don't know exactly how much money I made. Why do I not know exactly how much money I made? Because I didn't really take exact cheshbon when I got money from doing this little job on the side, that little job on the side. I have a rough idea, but I didn't take an exact cheshbon. So I'm not lying on purpose. I'm really giving my best estimate. I'm really trying my best. But Midvar Sheker Tirchak tells you, says the Archos Tzaddikim, that you need to keep the record, because if you're going to be put in a situation where you're going to end up lying because you don't know any better, well then you have to make it your business to know better in advance so that you're going to be able to present things honestly and faithfully in a clear way. So that's how the Archos Tzaddikim understands Tirchak. The Minchas Elazar in the Tshuva, Chelek Gimel Simin Yurches, says that normally there's a Machlokas Rishonim. There's a din, Savik Daraisa Lachumra, Savik Darabanan Lakula. That we know whenever you have a Savik about a din Daraisa, you go Lachumra, Savik about a din Darabanan, you go Lakula. Right? Is that din, that you need to be Machmir in a Savik Daraisa, is that itself a din Daraisa? Or is that itself only a din Darabanan? This is a major discussion. The Rishonim, Machlokas, Rambam, and the Rashba. The Rambam holds that a Savik Daraisa Lachumra is only a din Darabanan. That who tells me I need to. The Torah asked me in certain things, Nati Nevela, Nati Trefa. The Rabbanan told me even if it's a Suffolk Nevela. The Torah didn't tell me even if it's a Suffolk Nevela. That's just the Rabbanan. That's the Rambam Shita. The Rashba says, no. The Torah says, don't eat anything that even might be Nevela. That's all a din in the Torah. That's all part of the Yisr, is even in a situation of Suffolk. Now, according to the Rambam, why is it that Svek Sveka is Mutter? So according to the Rambam, it works out very good. Pnei Yeshua explains this. According to the Rambam, if Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra is only a din, the Rabbanan, so when I have a Suffolk on a Suffolk Daraisa, essentially I have a Suffolk Darabanan. And then you could go Lukula because it's Suffolk Darabanan. So the Minchas Lazar says, even though Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra is only Din Darabanan, and Svek Sveka, you could be making according to everybody, Tirchak means I don't care how many Svekos there are. I might be telling the truth because of this, and maybe that would fall into place, and this, that. It doesn't matter how many Svekos there are that you could possibly suggest that it's not a lie. Tirchak says, again, to be more machmir. So again, so far, the first two, we're all suggesting that it should be more machmir. Those nine Latara in his Perish on Chumash, right, of Saratskin, his Perish on Chumash, has a different take on it. He says, no. Tirchak tells you, if you look in source number 6, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, Etzem Ha'asara Shalol Dabar Sheker Mufurish Parashas Kedoshim, says it's not, the Pasuk Midvar Sheker Tirchak is not the real Israel lie. There is an Israel lie in the Torah. V'lo Seshakru Ishba Misa. It's a different Pasuk. So what's Midvar Sheker Tirchak? So he says, sometimes you're allowed to lie. Sometimes you're allowed, we're going to see soon that there are exceptions. There are cases that you're allowed to lie. In a situation where you're allowed to lie, the Torah says still, midvar sheker tirchak. Even if you're allowed to tell the lie, don't make it a dvar sheker. What does that mean? Don't say words that are actually a lie. Say words that could be true, even though they are misleading and they are therefore perceived as something that they're not, but at least let the words be true. Okay, so that's Yoznayim Lutar. Again, that seems to suggest that midvar sheker, the lashon of tirchak, that is not to say that you have to be more machmir, but rather that sometimes it's going to be mutter, and even when it's mutter, just stay, keep it as clean as possible. Fine. So again, it's important to note the Gemara in tomorrow's Daf Yomi, the Sugi Masech Shavuos, deals with lying in a courtroom, talks about Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and it talks about a variety of situations that have nothing to do with actually telling a lie. They all have to do with situations that are misleading in the way that they present themselves. Good, so that's the basic background. Now, what is the Isser? Now, based on what we've just seen, is the Isser that I'm not allowed to lie to somebody else, a mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, I can't mislead him, I'm doing it's a problem. It's problematic because I'm causing him to think something that's not true? Or is it an Isser ben adam l'makom? Or let's call it ben adam l'atzmo. It's an Isser in midos. And it doesn't matter whether anyone is listening or not listening, I'm just, can I walk around my house when no one is in the house, I'm not on the phone, no one hears me, and just start saying, I'm a billionaire, and I'm the greatest athlete in the world, and I just start saying things that just aren't true. Is there any Isser in that? So intuitively, I don't know, intuitively, Asr, not Asr, just I'm saying things. There's a famous Maisa, I'll tell you this one, there's a famous Maisa that the Ben Ish Chai has, that's quoted in all the storybooks, that there was a guy who came into a Beis Din, I forgot who the Rav was, the Dayan in the Beis Din, saw that even though the Tainas were, here's what happened, Reuven was walking down the street, sees a gold coin, and he says, oh, gold coin, picks it up, looks around, no one's there, and I said, okay, I'll take it. And then Shimon sees from afar, Reuven picked up a gold coin, found it first. Shimon comes running over to Reuven and says, that was my coin, I just dropped it, I was coming back, I saw no one pass by since I dropped it, it couldn't have fallen from anyone else, it had to be my coin, that's my coin, I'd like to have it back. And Reuven says, I know you, Shimon, every word out of your mouth is a lie, I don't believe anything you say. It's definitely not yours, you're a ganav, you're Shimon the ganav, there's absolutely no way. So Shimon says, yeah, I'll take you to a din Torah. So they go to a din Torah, and the Dayan starts questioning, and Shimon says, I dropped it, Reuven picked it up, what do you want from me? So the Dayan knew that Shimon was lying, but he couldn't prove it. So he said, Reuven, Shimon, out of the room. I need to discuss this with the other Dayanim. So Reuven and Shimon walk out of the room. And then knowing that Shimon is listening in, right by the door, so the Dayan screams, oh my gosh, look at that! There's a hole right next to that letter on the coin. It's a Simon Muvak. If Shimon was able to tell me this Simon Muvak, it's going to be his. Then he calls them back in. And Shimon comes in and he says, Shimon, I don't believe that it's yours. Do you have any Simon? Shimon says, Simon Muvak, there's a hole right next to the letter in the coin. And the Dayan says, aha, I got you. Because there's no such thing. You were just listening in the whole time. This is not your coin. He didn't say, aha, I got you. He said, oh, this must be a different coin. Because this doesn't have your Simon Muvak. It doesn't have the hole next to the letter. That's the mice of the Ben Ish Chai quotes. So Rav Zilberstein actually brings up this mice. He says, no, was it mutter for the Dayan to do that? He's saying sheker. Now, he's not saying it to Shimon, and Shimon happened to have been listening, but he's not trying to, I mean, actually, in this case, he was trying to mislead Shimon. So is it mutter or asr to do something like that? What this also touches upon is it mutter to say sheker when you're trying to help somebody, when you're trying to save somebody, when the sheker is going to be the only thing that's going to help them out? I think he had a similar shiloh also, where the sheker was going to be valuable to somebody else. I can't find it right now. Okay, but anyway, so that's the issue over here. Is this just something that you're telling somebody else, and therefore that's the problem, or is it even just you shouldn't say things that are a lie? So, Nafkamina number one, again, if you don't harm anybody, if let's say a person is not going to be hurt by me telling them the lie, so it could be that that would not be the Yisud HaRaisa. The Yisud HaRaisa Lo Shakruish Bamiso Midvar Sheker Tirchak is from the context of the Pesukim, is all about hurting other people, causing other people to have problems. But Stam, a lie for the sake of lying, I had a friend in college that is still a good friend who... He missed class one day, and the accounting professor, Dr. Snow, was the nicest guy, and you know, went over to him afterwards and said, I missed you in class today. What happened? And he looked the accounting professor right in the eye, and he said, I had 103. And that was it, and he walked away, and he said, oh, Refuah Shleima. Didn't cost anybody, didn't hurt anybody. Total lie, he was feeling just fine, he just wanted to sleep. Right? Had 103. So is that a violation of Anissa Daraisa? So it's definitely usir, especially if you know Dr. Snow. You can't lie to Dr. Snow. But it's definitely usir. But is it Anissa Daraisa? So that would be nafkamina. Is it Anissa Ben Adam L'Chavero? Didn't hurt the professor in any way. Or is it Anissa Ben Adam L'Atzmo? Also, if it's Anissa Ben Adam L'Atzmo, it wouldn't only be usir to speak it, it would even be usir to expose yourself to it. If you know that just like you're not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara, because it hurts your neshama, and it's an avera to listen to Lashon Hara, maybe it's an avera to listen to lies also. You're going to sit there, you wouldn't be allowed to watch, I don't know, any of the news shows, right? You wouldn't be allowed to... You know that you're sitting there listening to people lying through their teeth. So is that an isser? Because you're exposing yourself to the lie? Or...
it's like a Gemara today, remember that the Talmud was listening to the Rav, and you're just waiting to prove him wrong, but so the issue was not listening.
Right, that he was just trying to increase his own cover.
Mashmah that the case that if you're just listening to something that's wrong would not be the case in the Shulchan.
But it could be that over there it's not a lie because the person actually believed it. Meaning listening to someone try to deceive people, right? The Rebbe thought he was saying the right thing, right? So, but it could be that it's worse when you know that the person is trying to deceive people, so it is a lie and that's what you're exposing yourself to. Okay. Now, there are several exceptions to the Isser to lie, and then we'll circle back around and we'll go back to our shaylas and see if we can answer them. First of all, there is a heter to lie for the sake of peace. The Gemara Maseches Yevama says, if this is somehow, this got stuck in the outline itself, is not separate from the outline, so it's on the second page of the Marmon Kamos here, lying for the sake of peace, the source. Amr Rabbi Eloi Mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Mutal Aladim Lashanos Bidvar HaShalom Shneim Aravicha Tziva Kosom LeYosef Anasana, that a person is allowed to lie for the sake of peace, that it says Avicha Tziva, that Yaakov had told them that Yosef should be Mochel, meaning they told Yaakov, you know, they told Yosef, you know, Dad said you should be Mochel us. Now, Dad never said he should be Mochel them, but they were Mishana for Darkei Shalom. They wanted to make peace, and the only way to make peace, the best way to make peace, was to lie. Right? What was Aaron Cohen's thing? Aaron Cohen's thing was he'd go around to one guy and he'd say, oh, Plony, who is in a fight with you, really feels bad about it. It's a lie. But it was creating Shalom, it was for the sake of Shalom. Even God lied for the sake of peace. It says, Vadoniza Cain. Sarah says Adoniza Kain Lubsov Ksiva Aniza Kanti. God says, you know, Sarah said that she got old. So you see that you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace. There's another example in there I skipped. Rabbi Nassim says, Mitzvah Shenomar Vayomer Shmuel Eich Eilech Vishamashal Vargeni. That Shmuel says, how could I go? Shol's meaning God tells Shmuel, you need to go anoint a new king, find David, anoint him. Shmuel says, if David finds out that I'm on a trip looking for a new king, if Shol finds out rather that I'm looking for a new king, he's going to kill me. So God says, okay, I got a great idea. Take a little animal here with you, and whenever anyone asks you where you're going, you say, I'm going to slaughter this animal. And that way, Shol won't find out that you're going to anoint a new king, because you're going somewhere, you're going to slaughter the animal. But that's a lie. That's not where he was really going. Not a total lie, because he was also going to slaughter the animal now. But you see that for the sake of Shalom, in order to create Shalom, that was okay. So, now it happens to be those are very different cases. Now, in the case of Yosef and the brothers, so Yosef wasn't going to kill them. In the case of Shmuel and Shol, Shmuel was actually afraid for his life. So it could be Sakanas Nefashos is definitely I had to rely. But even without, the impression you get with Avram and Sarah, certainly neither was going to kill the other one. Avram wasn't going to kill Sarah, and just done, for the sake of Shalom Bayis, you're allowed to lie. Now, what exactly is for the sake of Shalom? So we discussed this recently. I don't remember the Shaila exactly that we had, but something with a man and wife, where a man felt like he had to lie to his wife in order to keep
about the meat and the dairy.
Oh, right, where he ate lunch. Yeah, that was a, okay. So right. So that's the you weren't there. So let me just basically, a man comes home from work one day, and his wife prepares a lavish milchig meal. And he felt like his wife probably wasn't going to cook for him, so he stopped in a burger place on the way home and had a burger. And his wife was like, "Oh, look what I cooked for you." So he wanted to know, so he let a lie to his wife and say, not that he didn't think she would cook because she never cooks, and that, you know, but rather that it was something else that happened, like someone brought in some cold cuts or something from work, something like that. Okay. Anyway, so that's the issue of Mipnei HaShalom when it comes to Ben Adam LeMakom. I'm sorry, when it comes to lying for the sake of peace. Another more lumdish shaila, I guess, is when we say that you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace, do we say that shalom is docha emes because shalom is more chashuv than emes? And therefore, by definition, it's not even called a sheker, meaning it wouldn't have the status of sheker because shalom is such an overriding idea. Or no, maybe the definition of sheker in the Torah is sheker that's hurtful. Sheker that's helpful. Sorry, let's say it again. Maybe it's emes is a value. Shalom is a value. Shalom is a more important value than emes. Now, it happens to be sometimes when you're going to lie for the sake of shalom, you are lying, but you're upholding the more important value, which is shalom. Or the other side is no. It's not that you're compromising one value for the other. There is no value of MS per se in its absolute form. The value is MS that enables society and people to function better in a more trusting and loving way toward each other. But any MS that's going to be hurtful to people, by definition, is not the good kind of MS. And therefore, any sheker that's helpful to people is not even considered a compromise of your values. It's not that I had to compromise for the sake of shalom. No, it's not called compromising because a sheker for the sake of shalom is not a sheker. It's by definition, it wouldn't be called a sheker. So, for instance, the nafkamina would be, if I know that I can lie for the sake of peace, or I could leave things be and it'll be somewhat peaceful, but with a lie, I can really make things great. I know that a husband and wife are having issues, and all I have to tell the wife is, you should have heard how the husband was talking about you and how appreciative he is of everything. Now, if I don't tell the wife that, okay, they'll go on with whatever, however things are going. But if I tell her that, it's going to create such a sense of shalom. It's going to enhance the shalom. So should I try to lie for the sake of peace? So if you hold that it's not even called a compromise of your values, yeah, then go ahead, try it, might as well. You're not even compromising anything. But if it's a compromise, you have to do it with a crack. It's just, you have a hechruch that for the sake of shalom, you need to do it. So then you're, right? So this is the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos talks about. Ketzem ra'akdim lefnei akala. You're at a wedding. And what should you say when you're dancing in front of the chasan akala? Why does the Gemara not raise the possibility of just saying nothing? Saying mazel tov. Right? What does the Gemara say? Ketzem ra'akdim lefnei akala. You should say, kala na v'chasuda. So says Beis Shammai, and what if she's not? What if she's ugly? You're going to say, Kalana v'chasuda, mitzvah sheker tirchak. Not allowed to lie. Chigera, suma, whatever disability or problem that she has in her appearance. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, come on, someone buys something, buys a new car. You go over and you say, oh man, you got ripped off. You don't say something like that. You always say, oh, that's great for you, that's fantastic. You make a person feel good about what they just bought. The guy gets married, you make him feel good about his wife. Now, what does that tell you? You don't have to say anything. And yet, apparently, Ketzem Rakhlin Ve'akali, you say something, even if it's not true. Why? Because shalom is a greater value. Not just a greater value, but that it's not even called sheker. It's not even called sheker. Now, one could distinguish and say, no, wait a second. Kalanov Chasuda, you know, and everybody knows, is subjective. So the term kalana v'chasuda is never really a lie. It's something that might not be my opinion, But it's never an absolute lie. Maybe telling an absolute lie, that would be something that we would stay away from, even if we're able to promote a greater level of shalom when we're through a lie. That's one possibility. Another possibility is, what does the Gemara say over there? The Gemara says, no, when someone buys something, what do? It's just common courtesy to lie about it and to say, yeah, you bought something great. And everyone knows that. Meaning the point is, a lie, by definition, we were just discussing the Gemara. What's the difference between a shvuah shav and a shvuah sheker, right? So we said, a shvuah shav is if I tell you that this fender is made out of gold. That's a shvuah shav. Why isn't that a shvuah sheker? It's a lie. Because any idiot can look at it and tell you that it's not made out of gold, so it's not a lie. Any time that you're not trying to deceive anybody and no one's being deceived, and it's understood that you lie about these things, that's not called a lie. How you doing? Great. Do I really think you're doing great? Everyone says great. Everyone says good. You know, except for grandmothers. You know, but everyone else says good. You know, they always say they're doing well. Right? So what? But the point is, you're not trying to deceive anybody. You're not trying to deceive anybody. So then maybe it's not a lie. So maybe that's not a great raya. Another nafkamina would be, is it a mitzvah to lie in these situations? Or is it only mutter? Right? That depends on whether you're actually compromising your values. And third nafkamina, is it better to limit your lie to the minimum possible? Right? If you feel that this is a compromise of your values, so you don't want to lie as much, similar to the Zayim L'Torah, don't say words that are actual lies. Let's go back and revisit, just in a couple of minutes, these shilas that we started with. Shila number one, the girl with the engagement ring that's really cubic zirconium, can she tell people that it's real because it's going to embarrass her? So, based on what we've said, so certainly in terms of the Bein Adam L'Chavero element, it's a harmless lie, I'm not hurting anybody. So we knocked out, according to many poskim, the Yisur D'Oraisa. So all you have left is the Yisur D'Rabbanan of telling a lie in terms of your own midos tovos. So it could be that to get around that, you could say something that is not dibur of a lie, right? That word, like we said before, oh, it better be, or it's real, and have in mind it's real cubic zirconium. It's not a real diamond, or something like that. For the sake of shalom, if, you know, certainly your friends are going to start looking at this chassan as he's a cheapskate or this or that or the other, you know, you don't want to, keep a sense of shalom with the family or whatever else, so then certainly it would seem that it would be, that there's a lot of room to be made if you don't say actual words of lying. So I said that's what I told him to do. I said, you could tell her that she could give a misimpression about it, but not to actually say words that are in fact the sheker. The guy signing into the class, so the only svar I thought that's not lying, that's an issue of gneivas das. It's a different issue, because signing your name is not a lie, it's just a list that you're giving into the teacher. It doesn't say anything on the list, you're just signing your name. But it's gneivas das. Now, gneivas das, the heter with gneivas das is only in a situation where a person is gonev das atmo, where, like by the teacher that gives the same tests every year, it's not gneivas das to study from those tests because the teacher's an idiot, right? The teacher's going to give the same tests every single year, so he's an idiot if he doesn't think that you're looking at those tests. That's not called gneivas das, he's fooling himself. Now, in this situation, is this a professor really fooling himself? And what do you want the professor to do? You want him to stand there like a police officer the whole time, make sure that no one leaves a note? He's handing around a piece of paper every single day. He's assuming people have the decency to sign their own name and not somebody else's name. I don't know if that fits into Gonev Das Atzma. I told the guy, you'll be mevatel your Torah or your tennis or whatever it is that you're going to be mevatel, and you go again to the class. You're not going to... I was not comfortable at all with that situation. Going back to this case of the woman with the woman hiring the person to work for her, I thought, forget about lying. That's Geneva. Meaning, the guy might, if you explain to him the situation, might say, you know what, if you think she's going to be good, she's worth the investment, I'll do it. But you can't take away his money. You know, you can't make him pay her a salary for 2 months that she's not doing anything, that she's just being trained. He's not interested in training somebody new. So I thought that was possibly an issue of Geneva. It wasn't even an issue of Sheker to begin with. Okay, in general, whenever I have these shilas, it's especially in today's day and age, it's much, much better to be machmir on any sveikos of these kinds of shilas. Our community, not North Woodmere per se, but the larger Jewish community, can use a few more people who are machmir on these kinds of shilas.